Sure.
Two weeks.
In 2 weeks?
So the journal is a few days. Oh, the journal this week.
Fine, sure. Yeah, sure. Good morning. This past Monday, I was sitting in the Beis Din, wallowing in a bit of self-pity that I somehow found myself having to give a shiur on Siman Ayin Hey. Ready the fourth week of Bori V'Shema, Anidem Pratich, Anidem Chayavti. People are getting a little bit confused, and there are very few practical cases. When suddenly, there was a knock on the door. A fellow comes in and says that he runs an organization, Tzedakah organization. About 5 years ago, they had taken over a certain project from another Tzedakah organization. There was a lot of money flying back and forth at the time. Anyway, he was just cleaning out his desk, and he found a $5,000 check from that organization written out to his organization, along with a little sticky note, please hold the check, please do not cash it yet. And the check was dated, I think it was 2011. He calls the fellow up, okay, I have a $5,000 check, you know, do you want to replace it, do you want me to put it in? And the fellow says, I don't know, I don't remember, it was 5 years ago, I don't know anything about the story, I don't know if I borrowed, I don't know if I paid, I don't know what happened. What? It was neither. They had done business, there was money going back and forth where one organization was laying out money for the other and expecting to get it back. But nobody remembered what the story was. What is the halacha? So, as we learned many times, if a person says you owe me money and he's a bari, the other fellow is a shema, I'm not sure. It depends what the arguments are. If everyone agrees he borrowed the money, and the question is if you repaid, any day in Paratich, the halacha is you're chayiv. We know at one point there was a debt, you're unsure if you ever repaid, if bari v'shema, bari yadav. On the other hand, the same story, if no one remembers if they ever borrowed the money, any day in Hilvisani, I don't know if I ever borrowed, then bari v'shema, la bari yadav, you can't force him to pay unless you can prove it. However, chayiv lotzis yeshemayim, not more than that. Now the complication here is that those halachas where it's a bari v'shema, the creditor is saying, I know you owe me money. The person is saying, I'm not sure, I don't think so. So it depends whether he's saying, I don't remember if I borrowed or if I don't remember if I paid you back. Here it's much worse, because here neither party is sure. So it's a shema v'shema. The person holding the check is not sure if it's still outstanding. The person who it's written against is not sure if it's outstanding. By a shema v'shema, the halacha is a bit different. If it's a shenayadim hilvisani, if we're not sure if you ever borrowed the money, then shema v'shema, you're pater, you're completely pater, there's no chiv lotzis yeshemayim. On the other hand, if everyone agrees the money was borrowed, but neither party remembers if it was paid, that is a machlokes. Most places can say there's at least a chiv lotzis yeshemayim, you don't have to actually pay, but lotzis yeshemayim, there would be a chiv. However, the Shach actually argues and says that you're all potter completely. So, based on that, what's the halacha in this case? In this case, we have a shema v'shema. Neither party knows what happened with this $5,000 chayv. On the other hand, is this an enidehem imhilvisani or enidehem imperatich? So there was a check that was ran out. If the check was ran out, obviously, at some point the money was owed. He wrote out the check and said, don't cash it yet. So if everyone agrees that at some point in time the money was owed, and neither party remembers whether it was paid, that's a shema v'shema, ene de imperatich, and there it would be machlokes. You certainly can't force him to pay. According to most poskim, there would be chiv lotzis yeshemayim. According to the Shach, that you would be potter completely. Very good. I get this question all the time. The Moisi could say, if it was my money, I'd be mevater. I'm a tzaddik. But Momen Hegdish, I'm just a gizbar. How can I be mevater on a Mois Hegdish? I think Pukvakert. The whole point of a Moisid is to do what's right. To be Mekadish and Shemayim, or to do. If Lotzis De Shemayim, this is what should be done. What? So Hegdish doesn't have a Chiv Lotzis De Shemayim? Adarab, but we do find by Yisayimim, they have the right, an apotropos of Yisayimim has the right to make a pshara with the Mois Yisayimim. Again, it's Yisayimim, it's Tzedaka, it's Aniyim. But Adarab, if that's the right thing to do, then I think Adarab, it's Ein Adam Choytev Aloy Loy. He can't be paid, correct. But the right thing to do is to pay. Yeah, tzedakah also shouldn't be stealing from other people. That the chiv to pay is because there's a suffix gezel. Okay, let me just finish. So it seems over here that it's a machlokes. According to many, your potter are completely. But according to others, your potter are completely. Here, I think it's a bit worse for two reasons. The first is, I think as you pointed out, by shema v'shemo, according to some places, it's the chiv lotzei shemayim. According to others, you're off the hook. Why is there a chiv lotzei shemayim by shema v'shemo? What's the shiloh over there? The question, the shy over here is, or the reason why you're potter completely, is that it's true, I forgot, and I'm supposed to be careful. I owe someone money, I have a responsibility to keep track so that I don't end up in a suffix, I don't end up stealing from someone inadvertently. On the other hand, the same argument can be made on the creditor. Why doesn't he keep track? Why doesn't he know what happened? And therefore, the svara that holds that you're potter is because it's to the extent that the lender himself was Peshaya, the extent that he didn't keep track, the borrower can say, listen, if you were sure I'm ready to pay, you forgot, now you want, because you forgot, you want me to pay Lotzei Shemayim, that I don't have to do. Now, if that's the case, what would be the halacha if the lender forgot, but it's not his fault? The borrower is the one that was goyrim the problem. In that case, it could be everyone would agree that they're talking Zechiv Lotzei Shemayim. So in a case where the lender wanted his money 5 years ago, and the borrower pushed him off, don't cash the check, he drayed and wait another month, another 2 months, there's a mokum to say, Besvara, that if he was goyrim the fact that the creditor no longer remembers, it was a very long time and lots going on in the office. So if you say that he was goyrim the shema, perhaps this is worse, and perhaps everyone would agree there's a chiv lotzei sidei shemayim. That's one cheshbon. Again, you can argue, but there's a svara. The second thing is that this case is really much worse. Because in Simen Nun Tes, the Shach brings down from the Rajdam, it's Mefurish in Simen Pei Beis, if Beis as well, that the whole issue of Shema V'Shema is by Emil Val Peh. I go over to someone and say, you owe me $5,000, or I think you owe me. He says, I'm not sure. Shema V'Shema, so we have to figure out, let's say Shemaim, not let's say Shemaim, different machlokas. What happens if you have a shtar? You have a shtar that says that he owes me $5,000. In that case, even if the malva is a shema, he has the right to rely on the shtar, and the borrower has to pay. This is midine adam, not just lotzis de shemayim. Because there's a valid shtar in front of us, there is no clear defense, and therefore he has to pay. So in such a case, the lechor over here, if you have a check, again, the lomdus you can argue, but a check l'chayr is a shtar that proves that money is outstanding. When you have an outstanding check, if you pay it in cash or you replace the check, you generally rip up the first check or in the very least ask for a receipt. So it's the equivalent of a shtar. If the lender has a shtar, even though it's a shema v'shema, l'chayr there's a chiyuv bidei adam and you can force the borrower to pay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so enochan, you know, it's like this. The case of the shtar is a shtar with two edim. By iksav yad, if you only have a shtar that's just signed, a promissory note signed by the borrower, there it's mavur, you don't have this svara. But the reason why you don't have this svara is by iksav yad, you're nemlin to say paraiti. People are not makbit to leave it there. And that, therefore, you can't be moitzi mamon with the shtar itself. A check, although it's technically not more than a ksav yad. There are no witnesses signed on the check. It's just the person. However, if the derech ha'olam, and even by a ksav yad today, is that they treat it seriously and would never leave a check there if they already paid, then it would be the equivalent of a shtar. Now, you're saying a svara, that if I know the check is old, it's stale, I'll leave it by you. I hear the svara. I think people are makbid, because even if it's stale, very often the bank will put it through, and therefore you still have that umdunah, that shtarcho biyadi, if you will. But enchami, yesh lodon in the case, if Itaka argues or says, I don't care, the mitzias is people are not so makbid, then it will not have a din shtar, because it's not really a shtar based on the technical requirements of a shtar. So be that as it may, in this case, it would come out that the organization would have a chiv mi'ikra hadin to pay, not just lotzei sidei shemayim.
Isn't there kind of the other way around, that an organization was really a creditor of $5,000 that they should have remembered at some point in 4 or 5 years?
In
how much money was this to the whole
In theory, that perhaps should have been true, but in this case, everyone agreed that there were huge amounts of money flying back and forth and highly disorganized. So the Bezdin's psak would probably be that the first organization has to pay the second, and the second one, you'd probably have to fire the staff. But, you know, that's a little judicial overreach. But in this case, it was clear. Everyone agreed money was flying back and forth, and there were no cheshbonos. So this is a case of Shema v'Shema. Now, normally, putting aside a Shema v'Shema, normally when there's a bari, when a person says, you definitely owe me $5,000. So if the borrower denies it completely, he says, I never borrowed from you, or I borrowed and I paid. So Mikra Hadin, you're potter. You're a kofer bakol, you're potter completely. If you're a moed b'mitzvah, if he says, it's not $5,000, I only owe you $2,500, that's a moed b'mitzvah, and there you pay what you owe, what you agree to, and the rest you have to make a shvur d'oraisa on. Now, although when you deny the entire chayv, you're a kofer bakol, mid'oraisa, you're potter completely, nevertheless, mid'rabbanon, there is a shvur hesis. Mid'rabbanon, they are misakein a shvur in order to keep people straight, and you have to make a shvur.
And if he makes a shvur, he's
potter again. Correct. Because, I mean, think about it. I go over to you and say, you owe me $10 million. So, if you deny it,
Bezdin...
You deny it? Okay. So, Bezdin can make you swear that it's not true, but they, once you swear, well, I have no proof, it's my word against yours, and you'll be off the hook. Now, what if I'm not sure? I say, you know what, I think you might owe me $10 million, but I don't remember for sure. So in this case, the halacha is you cannot force someone to make a shvua on a tainas shema. You have to be a bari. You can only insist on a shvua when you make a claim, you're certain, and he denies it, so then a shvua, deraisa, derabbanan, depending on the case. But to walk into Bezdin and say, you know, I think he might, he probably owes me money, that is not enough. You need a tainas bari in order to be mechayev a shvua. You know, the Mechaber brings down an interesting case that a person didn't really remember what happened, so he went over, you know, I think you owe me $10 million. He said, okay, yeah, that's true. You know what? Give me a few weeks, I'll pay you. A few weeks pass by, he doesn't pay him, so he brings him to Bezdin and says, you owe me the money. The fellow denies it. So at that point, he said, no, I'm a bari, you definitely owe me the money, I want you to make a shvur. Now, here's the problem. When we met a few weeks ago, I didn't remember. I said, I think you owe me. Why am I coming to Bezdin with this confidence you definitely owe me this money? Because when I asked you for the money, you said, yeah, sure, I'll pay you in a few weeks. So I have a hoidos bal din, you admitted that you owe me the money. He's saying, yes. What now? Because just like, if I don't remember what happened, but two witnesses come in and testify, you owe me $10 million. I'm now a bari, because I have two edim that said this is true. So if Hoidos Baldin Kimei Edom Dami, if you admit that you owe me the money, that's the equivalent of Mea Edom. So now I became a Bari based on your admission. So this halacha is true in theory, but in rarely Negea. Why? Because it's true. If I bring you to Bezdin and I say, I think you owe me money, and you are moed in front of Bezdin, yes, I owe you $10 million. In that case, if a few weeks later we have a fight, I'm a Bari and I can force you to pay, make a shvua, whatever it may be. The problem here is that I didn't go over to you in Bezdin and ask you for the $10 million. I went over to you privately, or actually publicly, in the middle of the shir. I asked you for the money, and you said, sure. There are a bunch of witnesses. The halacha is, if I go over to someone and I ask him for, I'm tevei him, I ask him for money, and he, in front of other people, says, okay, yeah, I owe it to you, I'll pay you next week. That is not a hodos baldin. Because it's out of bez, and he can say mishat anibach. You ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. I don't know you a dime. I never did business with you. You came and you said, I owe you $10 million. I said, no problem. I'll pay you next week. I didn't mean it seriously. It's only when it's in front of a Bezdin, or if I say, Atem Eidai, current two people, you're here, you're listening, I owe you $10 million. So then I'm saying, Atem Eidai, I'm showing I'm serious, then it's Hoidos Baldin. But if it's out of Bezdin, there are no Eidim, and it's just in response to my claim, you can say, Mishat Anibach, you didn't mean it, and therefore, you'd be off the hook. Now, the same thing is true here. Because the Hoidos Baldin is not a good Hoidos Baldin, if I go ahead and now want to make a claim, a claim that I'm a Bari because you agreed, Bezdin says nothing doing. You're not a Bari because there's no Eidos or Hoidos Baldin to rely on. Now, what's interesting is that in a case like this, if I say you owe me money, and you say sure, and then we come to Bezdin, and I tell Bezdin, this is what happened. He admitted that he owed me the money. We bring in witnesses. Although you're neman, if you want to say mishata nibach, if you say you were just joking, it's not a good haidas baldin, Bezdin doesn't give you any good ideas. If you claim you didn't mean it, good. But in the absence of that claim, Bezdin hears haidah, they'll turn to you and say pay. Now, if you defend yourself, it's not true, I never borrowed, I never this, I was a joke, good, we'll accept the argument. But we're not going to do taninon, we're not going to say it for you. Nevertheless, because your haidah is defective, there's a simple defense, I cannot make a taninos bari based on your admission, based on what you said. So unless I am certain, unless I'm really sure, I cannot make a taninos bari, and I cannot force you to make a shvu. Now this leads us, the Ramah has the following case. A person had valuables in his safe. He invites a fellow into his house. This fellow was a bit of a shady character. Walks into the room. The host leaves for a little while. Comes back. And after his guest leaves, he notices the vault is open. And his valuables are missing. So, who's the prime suspect? The guest that was just there. Does the owner know for sure who stole these goods? No, he didn't see it. He wasn't in the room. It's possible someone came in a few minutes before and broke into the vault. The owner didn't notice. It's possible it happened after. We don't know for sure. But if you had to guess, there's strong raglai in the davar. Everything points to this person being guilty. Can I demand a shvua based on a raglai in the davar if I don't know for sure? Zok the Ramah, yes. Although the halacha is hamoitzi mechadeo avaraya, we cannot make someone pay based on circumstantial evidence. We need edim, we need a clear proof. That is to make him pay. If the discussion is, can I make him make a shvua? Is that, am I a bari in my claim against him that it will at least make the fellow swear that he's innocent? Via the Ramah says, as long as there is a raglayim medavar, as long as there is evidence that he is the guilty party, that is enough to be mechayev him a shvua. Now this is a tremendous machlokas. The shach questions this psak, and he says that no, if imkain ein ledavar soif, anyone can always tell someone, you know, I suspect you, I have evidence, I have reason to believe you're guilty, and to demand a shvua. So the shach makes the following distinction. The shach says if Bezdin sees the evidence, and Bezdin concludes that this person is a prime suspect, as a Goliath Ledover, he's a guilty party, even though we don't have proof, we can force him to make a shvua. On the other hand, if it's just the person himself, the Baal Din says, I have a Goliath Ledover, I believe he's the one. The person says, I know this person, I confronted him, I saw the way he looked away from me, the way he blushed, I know he's lying. So it's very nice you believe that you have an umdina. It's very nice you're convinced that he's the guilty party. But we don't have any evidence. It's just when Bezdin doesn't see the Raglayim Ledavar, we cannot force a shvua. On the other hand, if Bezdin comes in and they see the facts, and the facts that presented to Bezdin, that itself creates a Raglayim Ledavar, it's not the Baal Din's negius. It's an absolute, you know, at least you know, evidence, even though it may not be conclusive. There, the Shach says, Bezdin can be mechayev him, a shvua. Otherwise, just the Baal Din saying, I suspect him, is not enough. The Radvaz adds in another wrinkle, and this is a little bit harder to quantify. He says it depends what the person comes into Bezdin and says. If the person says, you know what, this is the story, I really suspect Shimon's the Ganif. So the fact that you really suspect, and you think this is what happened, you can't make a shvua on a suspicion. On the other hand, if it rises to the level that based on the story, based on what you saw, you are sure, you are certain, I know this person, he's the crook. I spoke to him, nothing else makes sense, I am certain. In that case, the Radvaz says, you're a bari. As long as you are sure you're a bari, you have the right to demand a shvua. If you're not sure, it's just, you know, preponderance of evidence, it's likely, it's mistavra, it's the most logical suspect, that's not enough to demand a shvua. But if you're sure, you don't have to necessarily show it to Bezdin, but if you are sure, that's enough of a bari, and that's enough to to demand a shvuah. Well, yes, but there's another halacha of a choshur on a shvuah. That's another story. We'll get to that some other time. So again, according to the Ramah, raglayim ledavar is enough. The Shach says it has the raglayim ledavar has to be presented to Bezdin. Bezdin has to agree with the conclusion. The Radvaz says you don't have to present it to Bezdin, but you have to be certain. It has to be 100%, not just a bit of a suspicion or what? Correct. So in the Radvaz, it very much will depend on the person. Some people are sure about everything, as he pointed out. And in that case, if he comes in, I am a Bari, he's a Bari, and in a Chanami. Because all you need over here is a Tainas Bari, that he doesn't have any doubt, and he doesn't have any doubt. So it's enough to demand a Shavua.
So Bari is not based on having a fact, it's just your respect.
It's knowledge. It's you have knowledge. Now, different people have different thresholds what they think they know. And that's true. Someone who is, full of bluster and jumps to conclusions quickly will make a Tainas Bari more quickly than others. Now the Shach, because of that, says, not so fast. When you say you're sure, why are you sure? You remember, you saw. If it's just going to be a story or you're jumping to conclusions, tell it to us, we'll decide whether that conclusion is warranted. That's the Shach. The Radvaz says no. Bezdin doesn't have to second guess you. Once you are a Bari, then we have the right to demand a Shavua. There's actually, it seems to be a machloikis where the case was there were two people who had access to the safe. One of them was a known ganev, and the other one was a more trustworthy person. So over here, the Aruch HaShulchan, and really Mashma from others as well, says the same halacha would apply. If you know, these people have been working for you for years, and you have no doubt this is the person who's the ganev, you have the right, that's enough of a bari, and you have the right to demand a shvua from them. The other hand, the Bris Avraham argues and says no. In that case, why are you suspecting the ganev? Because he had access to the vault. If he didn't have access, then you'd say it's the other person. The other person is more trustworthy. No reason to suspect him. But the only reason why you're assuming it's the ganev is because of his past history. Zav de Bris Avraham, that's not called a bari. When there's only one person that you know of had access, and it's just there's some remote possibility, maybe someone slipped in some other time and said, yeah, you don't have to be choishish for. But if two people have access, just because one has a history and one doesn't, that does not rise to a level of bari. He says you cannot use that to jump to conclusions, and you cannot be majbi other person. Correct. That's the Bris Avraham's point. The halacha is if you have a known crook and you know he's a ganev, but now there's an issue comes up, we don't have the right to say, because you mugged the last person, you're the person that mugged him. And that's the Bris Avraham's point. The Aruch HaShulchan, or the ones that argue, say, we're not talking about being Moitzi Mamon. The question is this enough to have a Tainas Bari? If you have on one hand, you're Madoff in the room, and on the other hand, the other person is someone who has known to be honest and trustworthy, if it's clear enough to you with an umdana who the crook is, that's enough of a bari to be mechayev eshua.
I mean, the Torah itself makes a ganav a possible.
Correct.
So the Torah is really saying that a person who has a cheskes.
We're not going to trust you, but we're not going to force you to pay simply because there was another break-in in the neighborhood.
No, don't force him to pay. Make a
but a chazak is not enough. We need a bari. And the question is, do we rise to the level of bari? Can I use circumstantial evidence, which is not enough to be Moitzi Mamon? We don't know it. It's not a yediyah. But is this enough? Is a raglayim ledavar enough that I can go ahead and take action? Now, taking this a step, the Sma takes this a step further. The Sma says a tremendous chiddush. The story was, or actually, this is not the Sma story, but the story that the Shuvas deal with, is a fellow had a store, and he shared space, or his adjacent, there was another store adjacent, that was separated by wooden planks. Vayihi Hayoyim, he comes into the store one day, and he's been robbed. Money and merchandise disappeared. Now, what was unusual was, there were no signs of any forced entry from the outside. He's going through the store, he notices that one of the boards of wood between his shop and the next one was pried open and had been put back on a little bit sloppily. So he did a little detective work and he came to the conclusion that the fellow next door just came in, took out removed the board, robbed his store and brought and escaped back into his into back to his side. Now he was very sure about what happened. He claimed he had simonim on the merchandise and he had seen it in the store. He was very sure about what happened, but it wasn't enough to demand a shvuah. This person was going to lie. Instead, he took matters into his own hand, and the next night he went into the store. He removed the board of wood and was toifis, grabbed merchandise from his neighbor in order to pay himself back for the ganav, for the gneva. He was toifis. He grabbed because he was a bari. He said, "I know for sure you stole the money from me. I'm grabbing it back." Zakdisma, if you are a bari, even though you have no edim, you have no evidence, if you are a taifis shaloi be'edim, you have the right to do that. Because if you're certain he is the crook, you have no suffix whatsoever, you have the right to do tfisa. Brings a raya from the Gemara in Bava Metzia, talks about if two people are if three people are walking and someone drops something, or they're traveling together and one drops something on the wagon, the halacha is he's miyayish. And on the other hand, if two people are walking together, he's not miyayish. So the way Rashi and the Rosh explains is that if he's traveling with three people and he drops it, so he goes to the first person, did you find it? No. Second person, did you find it? No. He knows he's up the creek. Because he doesn't know which of the two was guilty, and therefore he's just miyayish, he gives up, he moves on with life. On the other hand, if he's only traveling with one person in the wagon and he drops it, he's going to assume it's this person. And even though this person's going to deny it, it's the way the Rosh says, he's not miyayish. He says, the day will come where I'll get a hold of his merchandise and I'll grab it back. Zok the Sma, we see from the Rosh, that even though the owner didn't see what happened, and in fact, in that case, he's wrong. It fell out of the wagon, and you're the one that found it. That you're asking the shiloh, do I have to return it or not? But since the owner is going to be convinced it dropped in the wagon, there was only one person here, he's the only person that could have taken it, Zok the Rosh, he has the right to grab it. And therefore, the Sma says, if you are a bari, and you're allowed to be toifis shloi be'edim, and you'll be able to keep it. Keep on going. Keep on going. Zok the Shach, and many other Achrenim Metzmiya. They say Chas v'Shalom. You can only grab if you have Edim. The fact that you speculate and it's likely that it's him, you can't steal from someone because he's likely the one that took it from you. The Rosh just means that this person is not going to be Miyayish because he'll say, one day I'll grab it back. He's not a Talmud Chacham. He doesn't know the Gemara's not telling you, the Rosh's not telling you that you're allowed to. He's explaining the person's psychology. If I know it's him, one day we'll settle the score. But, Zok the Shach, Chas v'Shalom, you cannot be Toifis unless you have direct Yediyah. If you saw him steal from you, even though you can't prove it in Bezdin, but you saw it, you can grab it back. But if you didn't see it, and it's just speculation, it's your belief, then even though you're convinced that it's true, the Shach and many others say you do not have the right to grab it back. So he... Mm-hmm. Correct. So the case was, he said, I have no doubt. And he was putting together a lot of indications. There was no forced entry, so it came from the store. Now, the fellow next door didn't get robbed. It's not like he said, someone broke into both of our stores. It was only over here. Then there was merchandise, which he said he recognized some of his merchandise that's now sitting in this fellow's store. So there were a bunch of points together that led him to say, I am a bari, I have no suffering. So there comes out a tremendous chiddush. According to the Sma, if you are convinced 100% that you're right, even though you do not have evidence that in Bezdin will be enough, nevertheless you have the right to be taifas. Yes, according to the Shach, you have to give it back. The Pesachei Tshuva, although most Achroinim passing like the Shach, nevertheless, the Pesachei Tshuva says, if you grab it, he says, Mestama, you can say Kimli like the Sma. The Tumim actually has an interesting approach. Tumim says like this, if you don't have a doubt, you're sure that he took it. So if you have a question, Ben Adam Lamokim, if you will, of Hilchos Gezela, am I being over here, or Gezel, if I take back money from the person who stole from me? The answer is no. If he stole from you and you're taking it back, that's not Gezel. If you don't have any suffix, so you don't necessarily have to ask a third party or a Bezdin what they think. If you know for sure he stole it, what's wrong with stealing it? If you know something's kosher, you don't have to call a Bezdin, is this kosher or not? You have a idea it's kosher, eat it. So if you know for sure he took it, then you take it back. You're not doing anything wrong. However, Zach the Tomim, the moment it comes to Beis Din, and you explain to Beis Din, yes, I grabbed it, and I grabbed it based on this information, Beis Din's going to say, listen, very nice, you can make your own decisions when it's your shiloh. But now that the question's in front of us, we have to paskin, do you have the right to do its fisa or not? Is it his or is it yours? Beis Din will say, since you're agreeing that you grabbed it from him, and you don't have Edim, you don't have a Raya Brura, Beis Din's going to force you to give it back. So if you avoid Beis Din completely, you want to know in Hilchus, they know Klapi Shmaya Galya, if you don't have a doubt, you can grab it. You're doing what you believe is right. On the other hand, if Beis Din gets involved, the fact that you are sure this circumstantial evidence makes you certain, Beis Din will say, very nice. We're not certain, and therefore Beis Din will be mechayev you to return it. Truth is, also this week, Ataka had a story where someone passed away, and he left Yerusha. And again, it was a long and complicated story, but everyone agrees that about 7 or 8 years before the fellow passed away, he had approximately $4 million in his bank account. Everyone also agrees that as he was getting older, his son moved in with him and took care of him. And when he passed away, the bank account was down to about $250,000. The siblings were convinced 100% that this son that had moved in with the father had been very generous with the father's money to take care of the father, that it also helped himself with some of the money. And they had various rayas or hechachos. They were bari. We had no doubt that money had been embezzled. Children. So one of the siblings went ahead and was able to be teufis money, a small fraction of what was missing. But he went ahead and he was teufis. It's saying, I have no doubt you stole it from me. Okay, that's a tie-in in Beis Din. But I'll call upon him. So what happened was the brother was typhus. Now again, what happened in Beis Din is not really the point. But part of the issue was that the brother was saying, you have no right. How can you go ahead with your circumstantial, because of your circumstantial evidence, how can you go ahead and be typhus? And made a whole taram about it. In truth, this is Mefurash Asma. According to the Sma, as long as there was enough evidence, there was no doubt they had stolen the money, according to the Sma, you would have the right to be typhus. Now, if they turn out that they're wrong, they did an avla, it was a gezel, maybe it was shoygig, maybe boinus, we'll figure out whether that their accusations or mistake were justified or not. But I'll call upon it, if they are certain, based on the evidence, that they're entitled to it, according to the Sma, you'd have the right to go ahead and to be typhus. So this is all a case. You want to be typhus in order to get back what you're certain was taken from you, even though there's no halachic proof. Now this leads us to the final issue on these matters. Ma'aseh shehayah kach hayah. Someone stayed by his rebbe's house, and he had a very valuable gold necklace. He gave it. He was a guest. He didn't have a place to store it, so he gave it to his rebbe to watch. Sure enough, the next day, it's gone. There was a mishares, there was a, cleaning lady, if you will, that was the prime suspect. Now, they had many umdanos and many indications that she was the crook. They didn't have any edim, they didn't have any raya rura, but there were very strong indications that it was her. So, according to the Sma, if you would be able to be toifis money from her, wonderful. The problem is that this was a very valuable piece of jewelry, and this Masharis didn't have anything to be typhus. So the question was, are you allowed to use, I think the euphemism that's used today is, enhanced interrogation techniques in order to get a confession? Can you waterboard her? So this Shiloh came up, the story happened actually with the Shach. Now, if you wonder, the Shach actually couldn't be Toifis because the Shach holds cannot be Toifis, he argues in the Sma. And it was by his Rebbe, Reb Heschel. Zog the Panim Meiros, he says over what happened over there is they were sure it was her. They somehow burnt her finger. She stood by her own. She did not confess. And yet, he says, a few years later, they're rummaging through her things. They taka found she was the guilty party. Zog the Panim Meiros. You have the right, if you have evidence this person is guilty, you have the right to beat them or torture them, if you will, to get a confession. And Zakta Panamiro says the Gemara Mufureshas. The Gemara above Metzion Daf Chavdal, it says that Marzushal Chasida, he was somewhere, something got stolen. He noticed one of the Talmidim washing his hands or drying his hands on his friend's beged. He said, if you're drawing your hands on someone else's beged, I see you're not careful with other people's money. You must be the crook. They grabbed him, they beat him up until he finally confessed. So we have a Gemara Mufureshes that if you are certain that this person is guilty, you have the right to be koyf for them, even to be miyaser them, until they come clean, until they actually admit to the crime. Now, before anyone runs out and buys himself a waterboard and gets into business, there are a number of chidushim, a number of limitations to this halacha. The first is, the Chavetz Chaim points out, that this is not, this. We do not say in this matter, other than shdil nafshe. If you believe someone stole from you, you have a partner, you believe he's stealing from you, it doesn't mean one day you lure him into your house, you lock him in your basement, and pull out your whip until he confesses. He says this is only a heter. Mazutra in that case, he wasn't the victim. It wasn't his thing that was stolen. He was a dayan. He said the dayan, lefi tzairich shoh, if he's convinced, dayanim have the right, bezin has the right to use these techniques. The CIA wants to use it, there's malkin to be matter. However, for a baal din, he says, chas v'sholom, you certainly do not have the right to go ahead and to use force in order to get a confession. Of course, this is lahalacha v'loy lamaisa, chas v'sholom, for a person to actually try this in practice, but it does show, at least Medina de Gemara, what the attitudes of interrogation were. On top of that, Chavetz Chaim and others also add that the case over here was, this was an inside job. There was this pundik, there was this inn, there were a few people there, it was one of these people were the guilty party. If you know it's one of these two or three people, and you have a raya that this is the one, you have the right to go ahead and to be koyf for them in order to get a hoidah. However, if it's not muchach, it's one of these this small group of people, it can be anyone, even though there are signs that point to a particular person, so they are ready, you don't have the right to go ahead and beat them, to jump to conclusions, and you would not be able to be koyf for him. Now what's interesting about this halacha as well is that we do see, and I think today it's a big issue, is so, okay, al pi halacha, if Bezin is convinced that this person is guilty and they have no other way of figuring out the din, they can be koyf, they can hit the person in order to get a confession. Weißt du, that a confession that is gotten, obtained through, enhanced interrogation techniques is admissible in Bezin. Because if when you beat a person, he's moida, we say, it was under duress, he's just saying whatever he has just to get you to stop beating him, then what are we accomplishing? So the chayr you see over here, that if he's moida, ayidei kfiya, that hoida is acceptable in Bezin, it's considered a hoida. Now, in the Gemara itself, and in the cases at least we have them over here, you can be doicha. Because in the Gemara's case was, there was a missing jewelry, and when they beat him up, they didn't just beat him up and say, admit. They beat him up until he came up with the goods. So you don't have a raya that it's admissible for other cases. However, in Simon Membez, the Beis Yosef brings down from the Muki Yosef, the Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Zayin, that a person came to Bezin with a shtar, and Bezin had reason to believe that it was forged. So there also, the Muki Yosef learns, you were kaifa over there with Biyasurim, you hit him, and once he admitted it was forged, we threw out the shtar. So there you see, even though it was done under pressure, still the haidah is considered a valid haidah. Now again, I don't know the levels. If it's everyone that brings it down, he says you can be miyaser him ktsas. There are limits. I don't know exactly how to be magdir, what's reasonable torture, what's unreasonable torture, how to be magdirit, but certainly there are limits. But within those limits, the haidah would be considered a valid haidah. Now what's also interesting is that we have an umdun. We have reason to believe this person is guilty. Why do we have to beat him up? Why don't we just pass that he has to pay? The answer is, Hamoitzi Mechavel Avaraya. Even though we have our suspicions, that's not enough to force him to pay. So the Erech Shai points out a tremendous chiddush. He says, Vayis dois, to be boitzi mormon with an omdana, no, that we can't do. Hamoitzi mechavel v'raya. To rough him up a little bit, that an umdana is enough. And therefore, since to rough him up we can do, we that's what we do. Once we get his confession, then we can be moitzi mamon. So the Erech Shai points out, and he says, it's mavur like this in the Taz and Simon Ches as well, that it's easier in halacha for a bezdin to be koifa, to rough them up to get a confession, than it is to go ahead and straight out be moitzi mamon. I don't know. The Gris Moshe Nemzon, he has a tshuva, his tshuva is actually talking about a Rebbe. I want to know, is a Rebbe allowed to punish the children? And his problem is like this. How does a Rebbe, so let's say the Rebbe's teaching, and suddenly he turns his back on the class, he's writing on the blackboard, and suddenly, you know, an airplane comes sailing through the air and hits him. Now the Rebbe has a very good umduna, who exactly was that threw this airplane. He probably, after being on the job for a little bit, he has a very good sense of who the guilty party is. However, does he have evidence? If he had to bring him to Bez and be Moitzi Mamon, the fact that this is the class clown, yesterday he's the one that threw the airplane, can I now go ahead and use that kind of evidence to be Moitzi Mamon? We said no. Someone is a Cheskas Ganev. Even though the other person has a Cheskas Kashrus, it's a class goody-goody, that's not enough to be Moitzi Mamon. It's true that a Rebbe has the right, if he knows for sure he has the right to discipline the class or discipline the child, but he has to have a Yediyah Brura. If it's just a suspicion, he says, you can't. And he says, Madoch, you don't have the right to be Moitzi Mamon with a suspicion. Certainly you cannot hit him. That's an Oyesh HaKoh, he says, is more Chomer. Seems to be arguing on this halacha. And therefore, the Gris Moshe writes, even though you can discipline, it's only when you have a Raya Brura. Now, he does say, he actually shells through this, and it's an interesting halacha in Siman Lamed Hey, in specific cases where you never have good evidence, you only have either Ketanim or a lady that can be, an Eidacha that can be made. There are certain cases where Basim will accept the Eidus of a Kohen or of a lady because as a Takana, because otherwise it's impossible. So in a Rebbe in a classroom as well, since you will never have two Eidim Ksheirim who are Gdoilim over Bar Mitzvah, etc., so he can be Seimich on a lower level, but you need Eidos, you need direct confirmation, not just the fact that this person has a, you know, has a Chazaka or a track record of being the class troublemaker. Now, I'm certainly not advocating for any form of physical punishment, but whatever discipline is being used, Rav Moshe's point is that a Rebbe is really like a Bezdin, and he cannot do any form of punishment or discipline unless the evidence is clear enough that for a halacha, that for a bezdin, it's actionable.